Last week, we looked at Psalm 100, and you remember that Psalm 100, verse 3, admonishes us to know God. Know that the Lord, He is God. Believer, is what you know about your God that which anchors your soul and provides that guiding rudder in your life? What you know, not what you experience, not what you feel, what you experience and what you feel is real, but it was never meant to guide and direct you. Ask the follower of Jesus in China. Ask the follower of Jesus in Pakistan. Ask the follower of Jesus in Seattle if his life circumstances bring him comfort. If what she is experiencing is an assurance to her. To the degree in which a believer knows God and knows his faithfulness is the extent to which he or she knows comfort and knows peace. That God is present to rescue. That God is present to help triumph over what we so often feel. Know that the Lord, He is God. And as we looked at last week, you know that little statement to know the Lord, that command implies that we are to take in everything that comes with that. The meaning and the power of His names. His irrefutable character and love. The testimony of His faithfulness. The revelation of His truth. Believer, this is going to take you a lifetime to mine out. But this is what is to anchor our souls in times of trouble and at times of ease alike. Now, whether you recognize it or not, for the past 8 weeks, we have been building a biography of God. We have read 6 Psalms, Psalm 95, 6, 7, 8, 9, and Psalm 100. At least 60 times in those 6 Psalms, an attribute or a name of God has been referenced. When the psalmist talks about worship, that worship always has God as the recipient of the praise and the adoration. Every character quality, every attribute revealed, every name remembered has meaning. It sings to us and should cause us to sing. And so by way of review, look here in Psalm 95. Here we are told that God is the Lord. He is Jehovah, the rock of our salvation. Great God, great King, above all, owns everything, creator, maker, our God, our shepherd. Psalm 96 adds to that list. He is Savior, God of wonder, strong and beautiful. He reigns. He's coming to judge. He's the source of righteousness and truth. And many of these attributes and names are repeated as we move on. Psalm 97 adds, El Elyon, God Most High. He preserves, He delivers, He's holy. Psalm 98, marvelous, victorious, merciful. Psalm 99. High above, He's awesome, equitable, answers. He is El Nasa, God who bears burden, God who forgives. And in Psalm 100, He is Elohim, creator, shepherd, good, merciful, enduring truth. This is our God. Knowing God helps us answer questions. Questions like what? Questions like, how are we to live in this world with disease and riots and killing and extortion and lies and wickedness. You don't know who to believe. You don't know who to trust. Oh, yes, we do. Knowing God helps to answer those kind of questions. Because the answer to those questions is to go back and know God. Here's the point. Since these are songs of worship that we have been reading, since these are songs of worship, we can conclude that the more we get to know the object of that worship, God, the more we understand who He is, the more we understand how He has revealed Himself to us, the more we will come to love Him and trust Him as we see the love that He has had for us and for those around us. So knowing God leads us to something. It's not an empty exercise, because to know God leads us to loving God. We actually see this in the New Testament as Jesus taught. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we'll pick up our reading in verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him, and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so we see these two great commandments that Jesus gives. He gives the Pharisees more than they were hoping for. And this lawyer got a greater, larger, more complete answer than he was probably expecting. Two commandments. The first is love God. In other words, worship. This is what the psalmist was challenging the worshipers to do, was worship the one who is deserving of their praise and adoration. Loving God with all your heart and soul and mind meant getting to know Him. Jesus is teaching what the psalmist has already taught. It's what the Pharisees would have already believed. And God has given us plenty, hasn't He? Plenty to study in Psalm 95 through 100 to get to know Him. Again, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Okay, go back to what the psalmist taught. The psalmist revealed the God of heaven as our God and our shepherd and the rock of our salvation, our deliverer, our shepherd, the one who forgives our sins, the one who is merciful to us. You see the intimate connection there. Do you think that in studying any of this, these names and character qualities that are revealed to us in the Psalms, in this biography that has been built for us, this biography of God and who He is, do you think that any of this would shock us if we were to dive in and study out who God is and who we are and what He has done for us? I think so. When we realize the terrible offense of our sin and yet the wonderful love, the grace that has been extended to us from perfect God, what would be an appropriate response on our part? It is exactly what Jesus says here. Love. Commit yourself to Him. Love the Lord your God with with all your soul and with all your heart and with all your mind. Well, what do we know from Scripture? We know that the one who knows that he has been forgiven much, the one who knows that she is a tremendous sinner who has been pardoned, the one who knows that, in turn loves much. Jesus taught that as we learn about the love and the forgiveness that God showers on us, we are then to direct that same kind of love and forgiveness toward other people. And so Jesus continues in verse 39. That word "and" that begins 39, that must have dumbfounded the Pharisees. The question was, what is the great commandment? They're looking for one, and Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God. They would have agreed with that, but when he said, and, you can just see them sit up and say, what? And? Jesus says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Know God, and love others. What Jesus is communicating is that what you know, God, what you know should bring you to love, God. And the love that you say you have for God should begin to grow hands and feet. It should be evidenced in how you act. Now, what was Jesus' final command to anyone who would be a follower of him? It was action. It was action based on the knowledge of God, what he knew about God, and then a love for God, a commitment to him and his plan. And we call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's all there. Know God, and love others. It's all there. We live in a crazy, crazy world. It's a wicked world. The believer ought not to be comfortable here. It's a world that needs answers. And so do we as Christians. And what are you going to do? Believer, what are you going to do? How are you going to live? COVID-19 is a real virus. At the same time, current events and news can be extremely confusing. Masks can be helpful. Masks can be harmful. Numbers don't lie, but numbers can be manipulated. Government is God-ordained, but government overreach is as real as the virus is real. So how should we live in times like these? What should we do as a family? What should we do as a church? I know what I'm going to do. And I'd invite you to join with me. Believer, God is most important. Know God. Love God. Love others, and as you go, make disciples for God. You say, that's overly simplistic. No, what that's doing is taking us back to the root of what it means to be here living on this earth. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden to know God. You and I, believer, we need wisdom. We need wisdom to know what it looks like in this world. We need strength to overcome temptation. But I want you to be encouraged by this, that our Lord Jesus lived in a time of great medical need. We're experiencing it now, right? We don't know where the answer lies. We don't know what the truth is in regards to some of the medical things going on in our world today. But Jesus lived in a time of tremendous medical need. Leprosy was a horrible disease and extremely contagious. The lame, the mute, the deaf, they did not have the technology that we have today. There were communicable diseases all around first century Jerusalem. Jesus lived in a time of great medical need, but Jesus also lived in a time of great social tension. The tension between Jew and Gentile. The tension between Jew and Samaritan. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers, the Romans, the rich, the poor. On and on, the segmentation of society goes. Jesus lived in a time of great medical need and great social tension. Yet he was able to keep his focus because of his submission to a larger plan that he summed up in these teachings. One, love God and love others. And as a result of that, what should flow out of that is two, go and make disciples. And a few thousand years before Jesus was on this earth, it was as if the psalmist answered our questions before they were ever asked. What are we to do? We are to know God, because God knows. God knows. With all of the noise of life, don't neglect him. Don't forget him. Don't ignore him. Run to him. Hear him. Know him. Love him. And serve him. Friends, God has not left us alone. God has not turned his back on what we are facing in this world. It's not just us here in the United States, it's our missionary friends around the world. We are all facing the exceeding sinfulness of sin. We are seeing firsthand wickedness lived out. But in all of the confusion, remember the simple commands of our Lord. Know God. Love God. Love people. And make disciples. Lead your family in this way. Lead us as a church in this way. Impact your society in this way. Know God. And as you grow to know him, and as you grow to love him, would you serve him by loving and serving others? I'd invite you to pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for our time in your word today. Certainly we could go to a number of other passages of scripture and study the love you have for your creation called man. But God, as we have seen today, the psalmist challenged us to know you, and in knowing you, how can we but love? You are so good and so gracious and so concerned with our sinful condition that you provided the answer. His name is Jesus. And Father, for all of us who have called upon the name of the Lord, we believe by faith that the blood of Christ is the only thing that could cover our sins. God, you have been faithful and you have forgiven and you have saved us. We praise you for that. And so as we face medical need, as we face social tension like Jesus did, I pray that we would focus more time and attention on knowing you And as we get to know you, I pray that our love for you would grow. And then in loving you, I pray that we would then love others like you love them. And we would seek to make disciples. I pray that we would be a people not running in fear, but running to you in love, depending on you, following you, living for you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in the Word. And I pray that as we continue to get to know you through the Word and through the power of the Spirit, as our eyes are opened, I pray that we would serve you more and more faithfully, looking forward to that day when our resurrected Lord Jesus will return to call his people home. God, I pray we would serve you faithfully to that end. For those in attendance today, God, I pray your blessing on them as they leave this place. For those who were not able to be here today, God, I pray that you would shower them with grace and that they would open their mouths this week to be a mouthpiece for you, a proclaimer, a singer, a worshiper of you and your great name. It is because of the blood that was shed for us that we can pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.